Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo, and this is the second chapter of the book of Galatians. Now, let's all go up to the throne and ask the Lord to bless this service. Heavenly Father, Lord and our God, we thank and praise your holy name for your word. For your word is the light, and when the light shines into the world, it dissolves darkness. Lord, and that's why you've called me to preach the gospel into this dark world to both Jews and Gentiles, to the whole world. And you're calling many others to do it, Lord. And I pray, and that everyone in the church should pray, that they turn to you so much that there's no possible chance for them to leave the calling that you've called them for. And that is to win, to expand the church, your body, just before you come back to this world to take us all up with you in the kingdom of heaven. Lord, the world is filled with filth, and the only way people can get out of that filth is to completely turn to you. The world is filled with disobedience. The only way they can stop being disobedient is to turn to you. The world is full of self-love. They feel it's all right to break services up if they're offended at least at the things that you're trying to say to them. Lord, make them turn unto you completely to where they receive you, the love for you and your word and your services and your spirit and your correction, and that they abandon all self-love and self-hurt. Lord, we're called to carry a cross, not soft flower petals. Lord, open every heart, soul, mind, and spirit to receive that which you have prepared for us to say and to hear from before the foundation of the world. Lord, strengthen the church. Let souls be saved. And let souls be obedient to you after salvation. And to rebuke every demonic spirit, Lord, that is in arrogance against your word. Destroy those people, Lord, because those that have been told so many times, take them out of this world and put them where they belong. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Okay. Now go ahead and let's start reading. Start reading about the first four verses from the King James Version, and then we'll read what I've written.
Galatians chapter 2. Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also.
And now, this is where the apostles, the other apostles up in Jerusalem, accepted the apostle Paul as a brother because he told them that he was called to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And he wanted to convince them of that, because he didn't want to be running in vain. They had to be convinced, otherwise his whole ministry would have been in vain, because the brethren would have never went for him. Okay, then what?
And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles.
Yes, I went up to Jerusalem and I told these people, I communicated to them, I told them that God had called me to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, and I want you people to receive what I'm saying. Then what?
But privately to them which were of reputation.
I went in there privately to them. I didn't want to say it out in the open to all the Christians for fear somebody would not believe what I'm saying. I wanted to make sure that the heads or the leaders of the church would receive it first, lest, because that's the way the Lord led me, was to convince the leaders first. Then what?
lest by any means I should run or had run in vain.
Right. Then what?
But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised.
So, even they had received his ministry so much that they didn't compel him, and he didn't compel him to be circumcised in the flesh, because what good is a mark of God on the outside of your flesh? The Lord wants his mark to be in us. That is, he wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That mark is very identifiable. I can see when somebody is scarred on the outside, and I can sure read them out real good when they're not walking in the Spirit. I can recognize a devil. I recognize the devil. I recognize him very well. All I do is their speech betrays them. I have very good spiritual eyes. Okay, then, what verse is that?
3.
Okay, now read one more verse.
And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus.
These false brethren, false Christians, Jewish Christians, came into him and was causing them or trying to compel them to be circumcised, to live according to the law of that which was only symbolic of Christ living in us by the Spirit. Christ, the Spirit of life, the quickening or life-giving Spirit, the Spirit that gives life. There's no other Spirit that gives life, so he isn't just a Spirit, he is the life-giving Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
That they might bring us into bondage.
They want to bring us back into the bondage of the law, bringing in sacrifices, killing them, flaying them, putting them on altars, burning them. They want us to get circumcised again of the flesh rather than to walk in the Spirit. They want us to observe all the holy days, which are done away with because they're all symbolic of Christ, his coming into the world, the feast days of eating and drinking Christ, the Spirit, and also his resurrection, the day of Pentecost, the pouring out of the Spirit on the world into the brethren. They want us to go back and do a bunch of rules and regulations. They are false. They don't want us to live by faith. We're free by our faith in Christ, who separated us from our mother's womb. Paul and people like myself that are called by God, specifically chosen to bring the gospel into the world. Then what? Now read what I've written here.
Galatians chapter 2. Apostles except Paul.
Apostles except Paul. Submission from Christ, okay? From Christ. Then what?
Then 14 years later, I went back to Jerusalem again, this time with Barnabas, and Titus came along also. I went there because God revealed to me that I should go. While I was there, I talked privately with the leaders of the church. I wanted them to understand what I had been preaching to the Gentiles. I wanted to make sure they did not disagree, or my ministry would have been useless.
Right, I want them to agree that I told the Gentiles that you don't have to be circumcised, you don't have to bring burnt offerings to to the high priests, because those high priests were corrupt. Christ has come and has freed us from all that. We don't have to observe the holy days, we don't have to do any of those things, because those are ordinances that were merely symbolic of the coming of Christ. And when that which was symbolized in the Old Testament came into the world, then there was no need for symbolism anymore, because the real thing, the real deal, had come. Amen?
Yeah.
The Spirit, and then on the day of Pentecost, the real Spirit of God that gives us the power, in which empowers us to do the commandments of the Lord, because nobody could keep the law, otherwise the people in the Old Testament would not have to go once a year to get their sins forgiven. But in Christ our sins are forgiven once. Our old sins are washed away, and God in Christ enters into our body and lives. And I don't want to go back to bondage of sinning anymore. I want to have the power of God in me, the Spirit, so that I am free from sin, Satan, death, hell, the grave, and the things of this world, and the weakness of my flesh. Because when God is living in me in Christ, the Spirit, then I am free from all that. Those who the Lord sets free are free indeed. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, but these false brethren, these false brothers, false Christians, came in, were preaching another doctrine. That you don't have to listen to Paul and Peter and all these people that were with Christ, that know and that had been regenerated and were filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And these false ones, these people saying that they were Christians, were in preaching another doctrine, and they had to go. Okay, because Paul said, we didn't listen to them for 1 second, right? We got them out of there. Okay, then what?
I wanted to make sure they did not disagree, or my ministry would have been useless, and they did agree.
And the apostles, the Peter and James and John, they all agreed with Paul that, yes, they believed him very much, that God had called him to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Because I'm sure he explained it that God had spoken to Abraham and told him that he would be the father of many nations, which indicated that later on, after the Jews, after God turned his back on the Jews for their rejection of Christ, not all of them, because all the first disciples were Jews, but that he would turn to the Gentiles, and then for 2,000 years would be their God, and then he would turn his back on the Gentiles because they began not serving the Lord. They are preaching heresy now. I mean, the majority of them. I'm not saying all of them, but the majority of them. All right, then what?
They did not even demand that my companion Titus be circumcised, though he was a Greek.
Right, so they had already received that you don't have to be circumcised, okay? Paul preached that to Peter, James, John, and all the others, and they received it. They knew, they acknowledged that he was from the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Well, that's good. That's right. Then what else?
Even that question wouldn't have come up except for some so-called Christians there, false ones really, who came to spy on us and see our freedom in Christ Jesus.
Right, we're no longer under bondage. We're free to, you know, God, I don't want to mess with animals anymore, right? I don't want to get circumcised, right? I don't want to have to go to these different... I want to walk in the Spirit and know, have the Lord with me every second. Amen? I don't want to have to sin anymore. I want God in me to give me His, in Christ, giving me that inner powerful strength, that mighty power of His in me to where I don't have to sin anymore. Amen? Power and dominion over myself, sin, Satan, the world, the devil, the flesh. Okay, then what?
They wanted to free us like slaves to follow their Jewish regulations.
Well, yeah. Rules and regulations. No, the Lord does away with all that. He says we have to walk with Him by the minute. Because we don't know what's going on around the corner. The Lord, we might be setting out to go around the corner, and the Lord said, no. Just like one time when I knew there was trouble, the Lord says, get everything, get out of here within 5 minutes or you'll be killed. And boy, I told everybody there, just pack up. As soon as we had just a few minutes to get out of there, I said, roll everything up in the bed, throw it in the car, and let's go. We went out of there, and we were safe. One of them wanted to stay with his wife, and a bunch of police came in there. They broke down the door and put a gun barrel in the man's throat. And everybody said he kind of looked like me. He said, I'm telling you, even when the gun barrel was in his throat. So that's what's so nice about walking in the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
You wouldn't know that in the flesh. And some people don't care about that kind of guidance from the Lord. And those kind of people that don't care about that are going to walk into a snare one of these days. For sure. They're going to zig when they should have zagged. Then what?
But we refuse to listen to them for a single moment.
Yeah, we didn't listen to this. We want to go back under the Jewish ordinances, which were symbolic of the coming of Christ. Christ had already come and filled them with the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Yeah.
Why go back to the old when you have the new? Amen?
Yeah.
The new wine from heaven. The power. You've got power now. Okay, then what? And if you don't think you have power, that's because you don't, because you have no intention of serving the Lord. And you wouldn't know what that's all about, having power. You don't know what that's all about. And you don't really care to know. All you can do is look longingly, wistfully, because that's all you're going to be able to do is have looks. Because you're just not a servant of the Lord, a slave of God. Then what?
We wanted to preserve the truth of the good news for you.
That's why they didn't listen to those people for 1 second. It's because they wanted to preserve, to continue preaching the good news to those of us that are here. Amen?
Amen.
I'm glad that Paul didn't fall away and listen to those false brethren. Amen? Those false Christians. The Bible says, beware of those kind of people. Not all men have faith. Amen?
Amen.
And Paul talked about the danger of being around false brethren. You have to watch out. Not everybody in the church is real. But they're false. And they know they're not keeping the commandments, and they'll say, well, does that mean I'm going to hell? Yes, it does. If you're not keeping God's commandments, you will go to hell in the lake of fire. You have to make a definite effort to be saved. If you think that you, a blob of fat, are going to get in by just being a blob of fat, you're crazy. Or by giving looks. Okay, go ahead.
And the leaders of the church who were there had nothing to add to what I was preaching.
No, they were astounded. Amen? This man, Paul, he changed the whole course of everything that was going on in the world at that time. Jews are the ones. Jews are God's chosen people. Jews were delivered out of Egypt. Jews were the ones that had all the ordinances and the instructions on how to please God. Jews also had all the prophets, the 333 different prophecies of the coming of the Lord, which I have written in the Messiah book, which you can see. It helps condense the Bible for you and causes it it explains it so that you are able to understand it better. And you have your Bibles to look it up to see what is written there is the truth. Okay, then what?
By the way, their reputation as great leaders made no difference to me.
I didn't care whether they were great leaders because the Lord called me and taught me personally. When I got saved, when the Lord called me in the office, it kindled my curiosity, and there was so much fear on me that I wanted to find out what the Lord wanted me to do, but there was nobody that I respected enough in the Christian realm. Because I never really was around it that much, but everyone that I ever saw that said they were Christians were as wicked as I was, even more wicked, because I could see they were hypocrites. They would drink in the same bars that I would go to. They went after the same girls that I went after. They did the same thing I did, and even maybe more, because I wasn't a big drinker, and I wasn't a drug abuser. I never took drugs or heroin or anything like that. as I was in the health studios, into strength, health, and energy. But people are so depressed because it's a dark world, and they don't want to take the Lord's direction. And so they're depressed, and so they get into drugs and alcohol and sex, and these demons just take advantage of them, and they have no power of God to get rid of the demons that they have. But when they turn completely to Christ and they ask Him in, Christ comes in and casts all the demons out of them, just as He did Legion. Legion had between 3,000 and 6,000 demons in him, and they all entered in. They said, "Let us go into the swine." Jesus said, "Go," and they went into the swine, and the swine ran violently down into the lake, the Sea of Galilee, which is also called the Lake Kinnereth. When I was there, I found those things out. And they were choked in the water. So if the Lord is able to cast out 3,000 to 6,000 or more demons out of a person, He can sure cast yours out if you would turn to Him. But will the people turn to the Lord? No. There's a whole lot of them who are going to be in hell, the Bible says, more than there will be in heaven. Then what?
For God has no favorites.
No. Read the whole sentence.
By the way, their reputation as great leaders made no difference to me, for God has no favorites.
No, he favors only those that love Him and keep His commandments. But it being these people were loving and keeping God's commandments, I would say John and James and Peter, but he didn't feel inferior to any of them. Right? Okay, then what?
They saw that God had given me the responsibility of preaching the good news to the Gentiles, just as He had given Peter the responsibility of preaching to the Jews. For the same God who worked through Peter for the benefit of the Jews worked through me for the benefit of the Gentiles.
Okay, now let's go into King James and read up to that point.
To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour.
No, to those false people that came in wanting to get them back under the law of ordinances, symbolic ordinances. Now, the law of God, which is the Ten Commandments, has never changed. Jesus said, "I didn't come to destroy the law." That means the Ten Commandments and the law of walking in the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Amen. We have to be holy and pure. But those ordinances, those things do not make you holy and pure. Taking cows, that is an insult to the Lord now that He's come to be circumcised and all those things. Now they're saying, well, it's because of cleanliness. That God never had the Jews circumcised because of any cleanliness laws. It was just to signify that they were of the Lord, that's all. Had nothing to do with cleanness. All right? There's nothing like that in the Bible. That's another Jewish fable that the Jews preach with the rest of their false religion. And why is it false? Because they renounce Christ. That's as bad as you can get. It's Antichrist. All right? They renounce the Lord of glory, the Savior of the world. Okay, then what?
To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you.
So that we can continue, so that you can, we preserve the gospel for you people to hear. Amen? Amen. Because we get faith by hearing by the word. We can't give place to any of these people that are preaching the opposite of the word, or that are living opposite to the word in the church. You have to get rid of them, because they're like a cancer in the church. Okay, then what?
But of these who seem to be...
But of course, people that don't believe the word of God just think that's evil, to get rid of the evil people in the church. But the Lord tells the Apostle John in the book of Revelations to get them out of the church. Measure them up, and if they don't measure up, get them out, and don't feel sad about it, because if you do, God will destroy the pastor for not getting them out. So you can see all the weasels looking sad now, because they know they're not going to keep the commandments, so they're not going to walk in the Spirit. Then what?
But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me.
Nobody added nothing to Paul. Paul learned it by revelation from the Lord. Amen? He didn't get anything from Peter. He saw that Peter was doing a wrong thing, and he rebuked him openly. But a lot of people think that's evil. Well, then you're of the devil if you think such a thing as that. All right, then what?
But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me.
In other words, the Gentiles, because they never got circumcised. There was no ordinance for them to be circumcised. Only to the Jews. See, the people of the world today that don't know the Bible, they don't realize what a division there was between Jew and Gentile. The Jews, even to this day, the religious Jews, the satanic ones. Paul was a satanic Jew. He was a Pharisee. And he said that he was exceedingly evil because he persecuted the church. He killed Christians. Now, that's, he said, but he was one of the highest Pharisees. So your highest in the Jewish religion are the most evil. Any religion, all religions are of the devil, and they will persecute the true people of God. Religions are of the devil. Paul himself said it, all right? And if you don't believe Paul, even Peter believed Paul. John believed Paul. James and the other elders in the church, the leaders of the church, believed Paul. And Paul said he was an evil person because he was a zealous Pharisee, the highest order of the Hebrews, the Jewish religion. Amen? So it's evil. Well, the Jews' religion is evil? Yes, it is. Anybody that renounces the Lord Jesus Christ is evil because he's the only way into the kingdom of heaven. If you don't think that's evil, well, then you're evil. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me...
Of the Gentiles was committed unto me, then what?
As the gospel of the circumcision was...
Of the Jews was unto Peter, was given, given unto Peter.
For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision... The same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then what?
And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision.
Who's Cephas? And then Peter? Not both Cephas, I'm talking about Cephas. Okay, then what?
Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles.
Certain came from who?
James.
James?
Yes.
Yeah.
He did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself.
When some Jewish friends came to visit, he didn't want to eat with the Gentiles anymore because he was afraid of what his Jewish friends would say to him. What are you eating with the dogs for? Instead of eating with them and saying, letting them ask the question and tell them because now they are brethren. The Lord has done a mighty thing here. He has now merged the Jews and Gentiles together for a body, for a church, a temple for him to live in. Isn't that marvelous? It was promised by our father Abraham that this would happen. Wouldn't that be better?
Yes.
So, Paul, this was a very evil thing that Peter did. Amen?
Amen.
He just wanted to be people pleasers. Just like so many other people are afraid to make a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, because they might be embarrassed. They're not witnesses. They don't care to be witnesses. They just dodge every opportunity there might be to witness for the Lord. It was something where Buster went out to... He was distributed tracts all throughout the one of the federal buildings. And the prosecuting attorney called him up and says, we're friends, he said, but how would you like it if I came over to your place and distributed all kinds of literature? And so in the spirit, he was really in the spirit, because this is really of the Lord, he said, oh, do you have some gospel literature? And he says, we have Bibles. He says, well, bring them over. We'll take as many as you got. Amen. Now, that man's ready to witness, all right?
Amen.
That is right from the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Sure, you can come over and believe them all over my place. And the guy got very frustrated and sputtered. Huh? So you can tell a person is of the Lord by the way he did something for the Lord. But there are many people in the church that have never done anything for the Lord. They lie, though. Now, that man's of the Lord. It's a very, very good thing from the Lord that he did there. Then what?
For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision.
Fearing the Jews. Okay, and then what?
And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also...
Even Barnabas went with him. He was influenced, because Peter moved, and then the others followed him as an example. That's why when you're in the church and you're evil, you're going to lead other people to be evil like you. That's why the Lord wants you out of the church, because you're evil, and you cause other people to be evil, because they look at you and say, this person's in the church, and they allow that in the church. It's just like there was a question here about there was a report that somebody had been peeping in the window, but I knew the brother, and I knew he hadn't done that. It was Doug Pendleton. He never did that. He's never had any problems since he's been saved, and it's been probably 30 or more years. But the person that reported him, there have been many false reports by him and his wife and his daughters. And so I said, well, we have to take care of this right away, because it was laying here on the desk. These people in this office here didn't alert me to it, which is a very serious thing. But I didn't want Doug Pendleton to think, or Dave, or anybody in the church to think that I would, whether it's a true report or false, that I would leave something like that laying around for 3 weeks, because it makes me look like a bad Christian that I would let a report such as that to lay around. And because I said that on a tape, Doug thought that I thought that he had done that. Not at all. Because I go by a person's history. The ones that accused him have told many lies. And he never has. And he's never done anything promiscuous, like window peeping. It's so far beyond him that it's not even funny. And so he left, and thank God he called tonight and asked to come back. And he says, well, I just thought you thought I was... I said, no way. I said, if you'll listen to a couple other tapes that were after that, I have to take care of matters. It's a report in here, and it was a false report on you, and I didn't want it laying around for people to think that I'm negligent when I am not. I'm very diligent. And if there's things that are bottlenecked in here, it's not because of me. It's because of negligent people here in the office. And I don't believe in taking the blame for a bunch of lackeys to to cause me to have a bad testimony. I could care less. I'll blow the whistle on them just like Peter did right in front of, just like Paul did against Peter in front of all the people. He blasted them right in front of them all. And if anyone would think that's evil, then you're of the devil. Because if you're a sloppy, slothful person and a false brother or sister, I don't want you destroying my testimony by your slothfulness. And so I took care of it. And I actually said on the tapes before tonight, I told them that I didn't believe that Doug did that at all. Okay, let's go.
And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all.
Now, you're supposed to walk uprightly. What was wrong with that? I mean, these Gentiles were Christians. And why, that wasn't upright to just when you see friends that are Jews and unsaved, or whether they're saved or not, then uproot yourself away from these brothers and sisters and leave them sitting there, and then cause Barnabas and everybody else to leave. That's not walking according to the holiness of the Lord, is it?
No.
You're supposed to prove that they're brothers and sisters. It reminds me very much of the first Christians we had were a bunch of long-haired, dirty, filthy-looking, smelly hippies. And nobody wanted them in their churches. We wanted to. We didn't have any money at that time. And so we... And they were hungry. And they just got off drugs. And they wanted food. And something to drink. Whatever we could give them. And so Sue and I wound up going to the back doors of supermarkets, knocking on the back door, asking for donations. We just want a bunch of hippies that used to go into your supermarkets and steal from you, and they're not going to steal anymore. They're Christians now. And so do you have any day-old bread or cakes or pez or a few bags of beans or something that you can donate to the church or give us so that we can feed them so they don't fall away from the Lord and go back into the world? And usually they pretty much say, okay, yeah, this is why I remember Valentine's Day or Easter. It was a bunch of Easter cakes and stuff in the back. I couldn't believe it, where we could... And here I was the person that had so much money before that I would never even think of this, but I thought it was a big deal that there was so many cakes on a rack, you know, and that we could have them all. Then we scraped up enough money, usually for a bag of beans and an onion or something like that, and we'd cook it. You people don't know the background of this church. And we'd feed them. And one day we cooked a turkey. Susie baked the turkey off for everybody. And she left it there. And we were going to go witness and testify and bring people in. And there was this Ruth that said she'd stay there and watch the place while we went. And a bunch of bikers came in and she gave the turkey to them. And Susie put her out for being, giving away food, the brother and sister's food, to a bunch of bikers that were just hungry. And they say, aren't you supposed to feed the hungry? Yes, but you're supposed to feed the brothers and sisters. Amen?
Amen.
And if they attend services, we would have given them some of the turkey and dressing and the other things that Susie made, but not if they don't attend the service. That's the deal at our church. That's the deal. Jesus preached to people for 3 days solid without feeding them. So he didn't make food the most important issue like many people in this church do. Food wasn't a big issue with him. Then he had compassion on them because they hadn't eaten for 3 days. And he broke up the bread and the fishes and handed it out to them. Free of charge. Okay, then what?
And I said unto Peter before them all,
Right in front of everybody. He didn't care about hurting Peter's feelings when he's wrecking the church. Okay, go ahead.
If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and
if you're there sitting and eating with the Gentiles, then what?
And not as do the Jews.
And not as the Jews, because you're not just... You realize now that Gentiles can get in, you're eating with them. Then what?
Why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews?
Then why are you compelling the Gentiles to be circumcised as the Jews are? Because by you leaving them and going over to the Jews, that's you're saying that you believe in circumcision, you believe in the burnt offerings, you believe that on the holy days and all these ceremonies and things like that. In other words, you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's exceedingly evil, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, so Peter was very evil by doing that. Then what?
We who are Jews.
And he needed to be rebuked openly for it. Just like people that think that you can commit adultery and that you can lie need to be rebuked. And actually, if they continue on, to be put out of the church. Because they have no spirit of God in them whatsoever. Or if they do any other sin. Because the Lord didn't call us so that we could sin some more. He said, go and sin no more. Then what?
We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles.
We that are Jews by birth and we're not Gentiles. Then what?
Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law.
Not by burnt sacrifices and all those things. Because he's not saying don't keep the Ten Commandments. Because that part is not symbolic of Christ to come. It's a never-ending, never-changing law. Thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not commit fornication, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt love God with all your heart, soul, the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not be greedy, thou shalt not be an idol worshiper. Okay, and all the other commandments, more than the ten, and we're more than able to keep them all by the power, the mighty power of God, by the Spirit living in us. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, go ahead.
For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified.
Okay, now go into my writings and then read from where we left off to that point.
In fact, James, Peter, and John, who were known as pillars of the church, recognized the gift God had given me, and they accepted Barnabas and me as their co-workers. They encouraged us to keep preaching to the Gentiles while they continued their work with the Jews. The only thing they suggested was that we remember to help the poor, and I have certainly been eager to do that. Paul confronts Peter. But when Peter came to Antioch, I had to oppose him publicly, speaking strongly.
Publicly. And people in the church think that they're not supposed to be splattered in front of the people in the church. Well, that just shows how much of a demon-possessed person you are. Because that's contrary to your thoughts are contrary to the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
But when Peter came to Antioch, I had to oppose him publicly, speaking strongly against what he was doing, for it was very wrong. When he first arrived, he ate with the Gentile Christians who didn't bother with circumcision.
Who didn't believe that they had to bother by being circumcised, because that isn't, it's totally not that God wants us to walk by the Spirit now. Circumcision now is walking by the Spirit. If you're not circumcised, if you're not walking by the Spirit, you cannot enter heaven. So if you're not walking by the Spirit, and you can just look into the faces of people, that you can tell they're not paying really any attention to anything that's being said in the services. You can tell there's no spirit in them at all. They're just like as dead as a corpse. Then what?
But afterward, when some Jewish friends of James came, Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore because he was afraid of what the legalists would say.
Yeah, they were legalistic, and still you have to obey the law of ordinances. There are a lot of ordinances. Okay, then what?
Then the other Jewish
Christians... We're not talking about the moral law. There's a moral law and there's the Ten Commandments. The Lord didn't ever end the moral law. Or you can't have sexual relationships with your mother. You can't have sexual relationships with your father. You can't have homosexual or lesbian relationships with anybody. You can't have sexual relationships with anyone next of kin. You can't have sexual relationships with the brother and sister cannot. And it goes on and on. These are all never ending. All right? You cannot have sexual relationships or uncovered even the nakedness of your sister or your brother or your mother or your father. These are all the moral law of God. He's talking about the law of ordinances in regard to the symbolism of the coming of Christ. Those are ended because Christ is here. All right? Yeah, but they still want to keep those laws, these legalists. Now, it's not wrong to be legal as far as the Ten Commandments and the moral laws. Those are settled in heaven. They never end. And because some of you have thought not, you are on the Lord's list. Okay, then what?
Then the other Jewish Christians followed Peter's hypocrisy, and even Barnabas was influenced to join them in their hypocrisy. When I saw that they were not following the truth of the good news, I said to Peter in front...
Right, they don't receive the gospel, the New Testament. Amen?
Amen.
Without the New Testament, we don't have life eternal. Without Christ, without the Spirit of life, we're dead. Then what?
I said to Peter in front of all the others, since you, a Jew by birth, have discarded the Jewish symbolic laws pertaining to Christ and are living like a Gentile, why are you trying to make these Gentiles obey the Jewish laws that you have abandoned?
Right. That's what he was trying them to do. You now say you're a Christian and that you've abandoned all of those ordinances of the symbolism of the coming of Christ. Now you're telling them, now why are you telling them to obey them? Okay, then what?
You and I are Jews by birth, not, quote, sinners like the Gentiles, and yet we Jewish Christians know that we become right with God, not by doing what the law commands in regards to the part of the law symbolic of Christ, which ended when Christ came into the world.
Yeah, I'm expounding on that because people think that's why there's so many lesbians and homosexuals and adulterers and fornicators and everything is because they think that the law is ended. And they don't realize that only these ones pertaining to the coming of Christ have ended because they're incorporated within the law. And most of the law happens to pertain to these those ordinances that were ended, with the exception of the Ten Commandments and the moral law. Okay? You cannot be immoral. You cannot be a lesbian. You cannot be a fornicator. You can't be a liar and get into heaven. It's impossible. Okay, then what?
But we are saved by faith in Jesus Christ, the whole Word of God.
Faith in every word of God that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Then what else?
So we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be accepted by God because of our faith in Christ, and not because we have obeyed the law of burnt offerings, circumcision, feast days, holy days, the one Sabbath day.
Yeah, the one Sabbath day. I believe in resting in Christ all the time. He says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you Sabbath rest. That means permanent, every day. Amen? So we don't have to go to a building once a week or twice a week to observe any of the man of the Old Testament Sabbath, one-day Sabbaths. That's over with. We rest in Christ now. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Rest from our old works, our old evil lives, And from our own ways, our old ways, we walk in the Spirit. That's Sabbath. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Okay, good. Then what?
And other ordinances in the law, which were only symbolic of Christ and were to be done away with when Christ would come. Christ the truth, which is not symbolic.
No, he's the real deal, the real thing. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah! He's the real deal, all right? The real thing. All right, then what else? This word is the real deal. Amen?
Amen.
The real thing. It explains it real good. That's why it's important for you to read the Bible. It's just amazing how much the Bible says. A lot more than my tracts. Amen?
Amen.
I can't say all these things in my tracts. The tracts would be 20-page tabloids. We wouldn't even be able to put it under a windshield wiper. Right? Or it'd be like a whole Bible, for God's sake. Then what?
For no one will ever be saved by obeying those outdated laws. The part of the law we must keep is the Ten Commandments.
And the moral law. The moral law. Moral. You have to have morals. That means you can't commit adultery, you can't commit fornication, you can't lust. Because lust is of the world. You can lust for the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
If you want to lust, there you go. Then you go, what else?
Walking in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus.
That's what it is. That's moral. Amen? If you're in the Spirit of Christ, the life of Christ, the law of life in Christ Jesus, you're moral. All right? And if you're not, you're immoral. And you can't enter heaven. It's impossible. Okay, then what?
But what if we seek to be made right with God through faith in Christ the Word, and then find out that we are still sinners? Has Christ called us to sin? Of course not. Rather, I make myself guilty if I rebuild the old system that I have already torn down.
Yeah, I already tore it. I've abandoned that old system, you know. I'm walking into the Lord, in the Spirit. Christ has become the Spirit of life. Amen?
Amen.
Because he was in the flesh, he couldn't be the Spirit of life. In order to be the Spirit of life to us, and not a life-giving Spirit, because there's only one life-giving Spirit, he has to be the. And we found out that in the original writings, that's what it says. Amen?
Amen.
He is the Spirit of life. The means, you know, a lot of people call, there's a lot of Donalds in the world, but they call Donald Trump the Donald. Right? But the Donald said that he's actually broke. He owes billions of dollars. All right, so he's not. Now people, when he said that and admitted it, no, not people don't think he's the Donald anymore. They probably believe primarily in, you know, the people of this world, in Donald Duck. Right, that's the Donald to them. But we're talking about the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And they're talking Bugs Bunny is where they were raised on him. Amen. Listening to animated cartoons and watching them. But, you know, we have to leave childish things behind when we accept Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Then, so, we're talking about the real deal, the Spirit of life, the only one that has life. No man can come unto the Father but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen?
Amen.
The life, not a life. The giver of life. Okay, King James is wrong there. They didn't translate it properly there. Then what?
For when I tried to keep the law, I by myself, without Christ, could never earn God's approval.
Yeah, I put in there without Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Because it doesn't say it here, but we have to explain it. I get the right to expound, okay? Because I, without Christ, cannot do it. Then what else?
So I died to the law that I might live for God.
I gave up that so that I could have the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
If I don't have the Holy Spirit, I can't live unto God. Right?
Right.
So, because no man, I could never keep the law, he said. I had to give that up so that I could have the Holy Spirit, because that's what the deal is. You want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then give up the old way and your way, and just trust in Christ to give, because He's the way. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
All right, then what?
I have been crucified with Christ. I myself no longer live.
Right, I died so that Christ could resurrect me. Amen?
Amen.
Make sense?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, what else?
I myself no longer live, but Christ lives in me.
Amen. And if He's in me, He conquered everything, death, hell, and the grave. Well, then I too, because of His life, His powerful life living in me, I too conquer death, hell, and the grave. And all the lusts of this world, even my flesh. If I don't walk in the Spirit, I will be as corrupt as the most corrupt person in the world, because I always said I was, and I don't want to go back to my old ways and take on 7 demons that were even worse than the ones I had before. That wouldn't be good, would it?
No.
No, it wouldn't. Because nobody would want to know me then, because they didn't want to know me before. So how much worse do you think I would be? A terror. Now I'm a holy terror to the demons, but then I was an unholy terror to everyone. All right? So I think you'd better like me the way that I'm just a holy terror, a terror to those that are not holy. Okay? Yes. What else?
So I live my life in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I am not one of those who treats the grace, the power of God, as meaningless. For if we could be saved by keeping the law of burnt sacrifices, circumcision, holy days, feast days, etc., then there would have been no need for Christ to die.
Yeah. But people didn't keep those laws, and they didn't keep the moral law, and they didn't keep the Ten Commandments, and so they had to give up the symbolism of Christ in order for them to trust in the Spirit of God in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Which enables them to do more, to be able to easily keep the law, the moral law, the Ten Commandments, and to do many other things that even the moral law doesn't talk of. It's like the Spirit tells us to do things that we ordinarily wouldn't do, that are not even mentioned in the Bible. It tells you to go here, go there. It's like a daily walk with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
How do I know where to go if the Lord doesn't tell me? How do I know whether to stay in the house if the Lord doesn't tell me, or to go out if the Lord doesn't tell me? And some people just don't care about guidance, leadership of the Lord, to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And as I said before, you're going to fall into, you're going to zig where you should have zagged. You're going to go around the corner when you should have stayed in the car. Okay, they'll go ahead and finish off with the King James here. We're finished with my writing there. All right, then what?
But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid.
Right, so people say, we can just live any way we want to. Don't listen to those kind of people, because they're making light of God's word, that it really doesn't mean what it says. Because God is not the minister of sin, He's the minister of power. And eternal life that gives you the power to not sin. He says, go and sin no more. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God.
Yeah, I don't do the law. He's not talking about the... Again, he's not saying that he's dead to the moral law. There's all kinds of laws. There's the Ten Commandments. There's the moral law. There's the law of sin and death. There's the law of ordinances. There's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
There's the law of nature. Amen?
Amen?
The law of your body. the eating laws, the cleansing laws, all these different laws. But he didn't end all the law. Amen?
Amen.
Did he stop the law of nature?
No.
Hmm? Can we still grow things?
Yes.
Huh? Yeah. We can still eat. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, what else?
I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me.
By the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Then what? He lives in me now. Then what?
And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God.
Yeah, I don't frustrate the power of God. Why should I live back under the old ordinances and everything by denying the Holy Spirit? Denying the Spirit of God, the grace of God, is the denying the Spirit. I say, yes, come quickly, Spirit. Give me the power I need to live another day. Amen?
Amen.
Give me the power to keep me controlled by the Holy Spirit, because I'm totally, without you, uncontrollable. I am one of the most uncontrollable people in the world without the Spirit. And everybody is. And if you try to say that you are not, you're a liar. Because none of us can do anything without the Spirit, Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And he is the life Spirit, the Spirit of life. Then what?
For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain.
This is Tony Alamo, and that was chapter 2 of the book of Galatians. And Lord willing, I'll do chapter 3 tomorrow. Praise the Lord.